Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Duluth Rundown, a podcast focused on the local Twin Ports running scene. My name is Tony Stensland with Tony Stensland Coaching.
And I am Mike Ward with Duluth Timing and Events.
All right, quick thank you before we get started to our sponsor of this episode, Austin Jarrow, Duluth's original running store. That's the place to get your running shoes. Great advice from all the people that work up there. Check out their website, austin-jarrow.com. They are also on Facebook and Instagram. Drive on up to their location on Central Entrance, just on the other side of where the Home Depot is, but on the other side of the road. Or give them a call, 218-722-1185. Thanks so much to Austin Jarrow.
And welcome, everyone, to the Duluth Rundown Podcast.
We're back.
What is this, episode 95, Mike?
I believe it is 96, Yes, yes. I wrote down 96.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think 95 was the last one. So, yeah,
sure. We're getting up towards 100.
Yeah,
that's a pretty big cool. 100. Wow.
Yeah, how have you been?
Really good. Running like crazy with Superior coming up, so that's always fun.
Training's good?
Yeah, it's going just about as good as it possibly can at this moment.
Good.
After a tumultuous last several months.
Yeah.
It's been just almost impossible for me to string together like a solid month of training since April.
Yeah.
But that's okay. I've had a solid month the last month.
And perfect. It's good timing then.
That's exactly what I was thinking. Yeah. So that all doesn't matter so much as, you know, last little push.
Well,
so.
And that might have kept you from being injured at this point.
Well, I was injured the whole time. That's about the, you know. But yeah, to keep me
injured.
I'm not injured now. Yeah.
So that's
I'm not injured now. Yeah. Well, should we hop right into it, Tony?
All right.
We have a bunch of race results coming in. So I'm just going to just zip right down through the list. Let's start with the Chief France Red Run. That was on July 18th. Winner of that, Tom Rolick, 11:03. And then the winner on the female side was Amanda Carlson with a 14:07. I believe the 5K course was cut down because I'm not thinking that Tom set a world record at the Rice Lake, Minnesota event. There were 58 finishers in that event. On the same day, the Minnesota Voyageur Ultra Marathon, Paul Scholl took the win there with a 7:18:06, pretty good time there. And then Mel Nelson took the win on the female side with a 9:48 on the dot. 163 finishers for the Voyageur this year. The day before the Voyageur, in a very nearby location, is the Carlton Days 5K, part of the Carlton Days celebrations. Jackson Lindquist took the win there with a scorching fast 15:50, and won by almost a minute. Emily Elysiak took the win with a 17:53, which is also a commanding win on the ladies' side. And then we had 186 finishers in total for the Carlton Days 5K. A first-year event took place on the 1st of August here. That is the Superior Trails and Ales. So I believe that was at the Superior Municipal Forest. I saw a couple things on the internet about it, Strava and Facebook, but I'm not 100% certain what the real deal is. But there's a 5K and a 10K. Colin Hansen won the 5K, 16:53. Christine Brune won the women's side of the event with a 26:41, 69 finishers in the 5K. And then the 10K, Kieran Johnson took the win with a 34:28. And then Lauren Stevens took the first place on the ladies' side, 42:27. And then non-binary winner, Ashley Ellison, with a 1:11:41. 29 finishers, 57 finishers in the 10K as well. So in total, as well over 100 finishers for the Superior Trails and Ales. Sounded like it was a fun event. Let's move along to the Brewhouse Triathlon. We'll just do the top overall on the long course and the short course. Josh Blankenheim took the win with a 155.07. That was about a 7 minute difference. So Josh crushed it. And then Nada Hutchinson with a 225.56 took the win on the women's side. In the short course, which is known as the Buzz Ryan Sprint Triathlon, Corbin Deichmann took the win there, 45 minutes and 1 second. And then Cheyenne McGregor took the win with a 48.13. Cheyenne put on about a 6 minute buffer against Bettina Keppers as well, so pretty commanding win there. Top finisher in the non-binary category on the Buzz Ryan, Lado Mueller, 55.57. So 167 finishers in the short course, and then we had 108 in the long course, so you know, well over almost 300 total, maybe if you include relay participants. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of races coming in from the Duluth Trails Fest. Pretty cool deal how the Bike Duluth Fest kind of merged with the Summit North Trail races and just became the Duluth Trails Fest. Boy, Tony, I don't know if there was like 10 or 15 events. It was just crazy.
Yeah,
I was there at Spirit quite a bit helping with race timing, and there were multiple races happening at all day times of day. You know? But since this is a running-based podcast, let's focus on the trail running races. First, in chronological order, we had the hill climb and descent. There's about a mile and a half straight up Spirit, straight back down. Zach Trotto took the win there, 12 minutes, 43 seconds. Jessica Wilson took the win on the women's side, 17:39. Aaron Durkee took the win on the non-binary side, 17:40. 13 took on the hill climb. Moving right along to the 5K. This is the next day. That's Saturday, August 7th. The Mountain Lap 5K had 34 finishers. The overall winner was Sarah Kylander Johnson. And obviously, Sarah won the women's event by over 10 minutes. Her time was 28:49. The top male finisher, Grayson Pearls. I'm probably pronouncing that wrong. Sorry, Grayson. 37:50. And then top non-binary runner was Lauren Burnap with a 59:30. Moving on, the Creeks 8 Mile. Will Chapel took the win, 119:51. On the men's side, Jody Bergstrom on the ladies' side, 133:12. And then Aaron Durkee, champion on the non-binary side, 202:58. 37 finishers for the Creeks 8 Mile, and then the Forest Track Heavy Half Marathon, about a 15-mile event. So this says 13.1 miles, but everybody knows it's longer than that. So take that with a grain of salt. I guess grain of salt, Tim Parr took the win with a 157.07. So, I mean, if even like a trail 13 mile, that's fast. Carissa Land took the win on the ladies' side, 2 hours 46 minutes and 53 seconds. And then, 39 finishers total in the heavy half. On the same day as the Summit North or the Duluth Trails Festival, I'll say, trail running event, we had a 29th annual, I think, with the Kristen Burkholder 5K. Mm-hmm. 231 finishers in that race in Esko, Minnesota. First place finisher Phoenix Anderson took the win with a 16:42, and then Emily Oleziak took the win on the ladies' side with a 18:21. Just a couple more results here, and actually we got results streaming in just from yesterday from Virginia, Minnesota. I wanted to shout out the Essentia Health Iron Range Half Marathon and 5K. And actually, we had a listener inquiry, I guess you would say, from a previous podcast guest, Dave Schaefer. He wanted to specifically highlight the third year here of the Iron Range Half Marathon. He ran it year one. He said it was a great event. They added a 5K on Friday night this year as well. Yeah, the race is entirely on the Mesabi Trail, paved path, minimal road crossing. So Dave was a big fan. We kind of forgot to, or just didn't shout it out, but hey, at least we got some results coming in. So the 5K, Walter Skahl took the win with a 19:30, and then Jill Slater, champion on the women's side, 22:40, 72 finishers in the 5K. And then the half marathon the next day, Kendall Hill won that with a 1:15:41, smoking fast time, over 3 minute buffer to second place. Melina Sullivan took the win on the ladies' side with a 1:28:26. And there were 163 finishers in the half, so pretty good showing up in the iron range there. That is about all that we have. Other races that we found but weren't able to find results. The Brimson Sisu, I believe that's a 4 mile or a 4K or something.
Something like that. I think they have a different course almost every year, but yeah.
Yeah, was not able to find results. I believe that was yesterday anyways. So
probably, yeah.
And then the Brule 4 miler, a lot of local based on in social media and Strava. Looked like the Brule 4 miler had a pretty good showing. Could not find results on that though, however. So if they're out there, send it off to us. And also, hey, if you did a race that we didn't mention in the last month or so, want to shout out some results or race results that you know of, definitely shoot us a note. Moving along to upcoming races, starting with the NMTC Fall Trail Series. That's coming up real quick. We got Leicester Park on Wednesday, August 26th. So, boy, 10 days from now as we're recording this. And then, yeah, it's about every Wednesday through September. And then they start on the Sundays starting in October. So we have Zapp's Loop on September 2nd, Hartley, Browns Point, Rock Hill, and then Pine Valley. So five Wednesdays in September. And then, of course, the one here in August. So all that information is on nmtc.run if you want to check out the schedule, how to get to each race location and stuff. We also have the Minnesota Mile coming up real quick, early September. The one-mile event, Grandma's Marathon, produces that race. So if you want to get some speed in. If you're looking at some running race on the total opposite side of the spectrum, Superior Fall Trail Race is, I believe, the same day or the day after. Mm-hmm. September 11th is when the 100-miler starts. There's, of course, also a 50 and a 26-mile, but you can't sign up for those anymore. You got to sign up in January, pretty much. So, and then worth mentioning is the North Shore Inline Marathon. If you're an inline skater looking for something different, roller skier, there is a race for you. And if you don't do any of that stuff, this is a running-based podcast. Of course, there is the 10K and the half marathon as well. So, and then finally, I found a race just through the search called the Twilight Trot and Sunset Stroll in support of Covenant Ability Network of Minnesota, Friday, September 25th, right here in Duluth. I don't think either of us had heard of this race.
No.
But it is apparently the second year, so... And yeah, similar request, if you know of any races that we did not mention, have something that you're training for, looking forward to, that you help put on or volunteer with or something, definitely let us know. We love to build out our upcoming race list here. So, moving along to our next segment, trail conditions. Tony, I would say trail conditions are just excellent.
Yeah, if almost too dry, maybe.
Yeah.
But yeah. If that's a bad thing, I guess that's the worst you can say.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's been a heck of a summer.
Yeah.
For the trails.
Yeah.
And I'm hearing rumors that there might be some new trail in Hartley. Are you familiar with that?
You know, I ran there just today actually. Yeah. And, I used to like pride myself in like, I've never been lost or I don't get lost in Hartley anymore because I've been lost too much.
Yeah.
Like too often. And, getting lost is how you got kind of like find your way better, you know. Today I was just like, where am I?
Yeah.
And it definitely seemed like there was some new trail.
Okay.
But I run Hartley like I would say infrequently enough where it kind of seems like there's always new
Okay.
Trail.
Yeah. I'm going to have to go check that out.
On, let's see, Ramness.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, or it was actually Guardrail. But it looked like they're a new trail. Like okay. It looked like it was fresh, you know, mm-hmm. like kind of freshly graded, not like final grade type yeah. thing. But
okay.
Where else? I don't know. I definitely noticed a few, like, huh, that this looks new.
I'm hearing that it's kind of, the idea is it's a beginner friendly mountain bike stuff. So it would have been pretty buffed in, I'm sure, and relatively wide, similar to Ramness is because Ramness is not very technical. So that would be my guess.
I don't know.
Yeah. I'm going to go check that out.
Yeah.
I just heard this last night and I tried to do a little bit of research before the podcast, but I didn't see anything about on the city website or anything. So,
Yeah, check it out. Cause I know you run there maybe more often than I do. Yeah. And, it was almost like even on Guardrail, like you can't even get turned around on Guardrail. You just right. like,
there's not a lot of options really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there were, I like double backed once and I just sat there and like looked both ways.
Well, and there is, you know what? And there is the one spot where Guardrail kind of now what they call Guardrail is a shortcut for what they now call blowdown.
Yeah.
But before the blowdown, everyone just called that guardrail.
Right.
So that's a little confusing. So maybe that's what happened?
Yeah. I took blowdown.
You did. Okay.
With confidence.
Yes. Okay.
And then halfway in, I'm like, well, I feel like I'm not running the right way. Like I got turned around or something.
Okay.
Just like, no, just stick to it.
Did you go clockwise or counterclockwise?
I went counterclockwise.
Okay.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah.
It's kind of funny. But like even, you know, running in Hartley the last 15 years, like it's amazing how much it's changed over the years. But then there's like certain trails that are the exact same.
Right. Yep.
But then other ones that are just totally different.
And within like 100 meters, there's that exact same. And then now it's completely new. And now it's exact same again. And now it's completely new.
It was busy in there too today. There was a lot of mountain bikers.
Yeah.
Yeah, everywhere that I've been running, up the North Shore on the Superior Hiking Trail, of course in Duluth, especially like with the kind of the heat of the summer waning, I feel like volunteers have been able to catch up on lopping and weed whipping, and oh my gosh, yeah, it's just really, really good.
Yeah.
Really good right now, so. Mm-hmm. Moving right along to Coach's Corner. Actually, Tony, we had a listener request. Dave Schaefer sent us several notes, which we love. We're so thank you, Dave, for sending on some ideas. I think this is really, really relevant. Dave had a question about the Minnesota Mile, which is coming up, as we noted, and Dave's running it. And so Dave's question was, he said he still hasn't really figured out how to do a great warm-up for a mile race. He comes into it either slightly under or overcooked. Some specific examples of warm-ups that have worked well for people, like, I don't know, just what do you do? Stretches, mobility, do you do some specific? And then, Dave's wondering what to do to warm up for the 1 mile. What do you think?
Yeah, so I don't have anything specific to the mile, but I would say a few things. Number one, it's called a warm-up, and so you should literally be warming up, like, when you're at the start line after your warm up, there should be a little sweat going, because that's the idea. You really want to have your body. It's ready to. You know how you start off on a race and you're not kind of in the flow. You're not kind of quote unquote warmed up until a mile or so in, or a couple miles in, or whatever. You don't want that in the mile race, obviously. You want to be ready to go at the gun. And so you probably should be sweating a little bit on the start line.
Okay.
Which means your timing of your warm-up is very key. So you don't want to be warmed up, sweating, but you did it too early and now you're starting to cool down, like literally cool down. And now you're walking up to the start line, you went a little too soon. Or you just didn't time it right. So you got to get that timing done properly. 15, 20 minutes prior, I would start with a jog of a handful of miles, mile, two, three, four, five, whatever kind of feels right for you individually and where your fitness is and kind of where, what your kind of weekly, is a 5 mile, you know how it is, sometimes a 5 mile jog is the warm up for when you're going on 20 miles or whatever.
Right.
And sometimes, you know, if you're not running big miles, maybe a mile or two is plenty.
Like so, long run for the week.
Exactly. So that's going to vary a little bit per the individual.
Yeah.
But you're definitely going to want to be doing some strides and even almost faster than strides, relatively short distance, but some real quick bursts to get those legs turning over really fast and that fast twitch muscle fiber kind of firing. And I would also recommend some drills like A skips, B skips, any kind of bounding thing or anything to kind of get the tendons and your feet just really popping real quick. And if you're not familiar with A skip, just look it up on YouTube. A skips, B skips. A skips are pretty classic. Everybody kind of knows how to do those, or you'll figure it out real quick. Yeah,
you see people do them at the start line, I'm sure, right?
Like totally. Especially the people who are still like in track and cross country, or whether it's high school or college, they all know how to do those, and you'll see them doing it. But that's really important to do. There's tons and tons of drills like that to do, but those are two A skip, B skips are two classic ones that you can do. You'll see a lot of the Kenyans and Ethiopians when they're doing drills, they add some kind of funky dance moves almost kind of, and they get the arms involved and it's a whole body thing. And we do a little bit of that with our cross country team too. I think those are really beneficial to do as well. But again, that's a rabbit hole that you could go down don't need to, but I would do recommend that you get something done with regards to some drills to. Yeah. So I would do the long run. I would do drills. I would do a few strides / really short bursty sprint kind of things. And enough to the point again where you're stretching. And then once you kind of feel like, okay, I've taken care of those things, hopefully it's a couple, 3, 4, 5 minutes before the start, then you're going to need to keep moving around a little bit so that you don't cool down a little bit too much too quick.
Sure.
Probably if you're in pretty good shape, it is easy to like, you can get that heart rate up, and then when you're really fit, that heart rate comes down really fast because you're fit. And so you need to kind of try to keep that heart rate up in the little medium between your drills, your sprints, and the gun actually going off.
Right.
Yeah.
Any order, or is this kind of within the long, like you're jogging and just tossing a couple?
No, I would jog first, and I would have full warm-ups on.
Yeah.
Like you're going to want to kind of overdress a little bit.
Right.
So long sleeve shirt, maybe some warm up pants. Because again, you're literally warming up.
Yeah.
So do that first. And then to me, I would do drills next. And then I would do the sprints or the strides or little bursts, whatever you want to call them. I would do those last. And I would take off probably my warm up pants for the sprints part. And then once you get to the start line, take off that long sleeve shirt and throw it off to the side.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, hopefully that helps, Dave, with the race coming up. And if you have a warm up that has worked really well for you, send it on. We'd love to hear it. So next, what we have in the podcast is what I'm into. Tony, what have you been into lately?
Well, this isn't running related, but I think a lot of people, well, maybe not a lot of people know. Some people know that I did a big bike packing trip. Oh, gosh, when was it? July, like 22nd through the 28th, I think, or something like that. So a couple, 3 weeks ago. And it was a long trip. So what I did was I started at the southwest tip of Minnesota, so where Minnesota, South Dakota, and Iowa meet, there's actual landmark there. It's called the Tri-State Marker, and you can Google Earth it. There's like a thing there and a tiny little gravel parking lot. And then I rode my bike on mostly gravel roads from that point all the way up to Grand Portage, so the northeast point of Minnesota.
Wow.
It was, my original plan was 700 miles. It ended up being 630. I diverted my plan on day 5, had an awesome time, especially the early days. The weather was pretty cool. It was really nice. Then it got hot, and then that's what kind of diverted my plans. Plus my bike was acting up quite a bit.
Yeah.
So I had to make some choices about how I was going to continue on when I get... Where did I make my change? It is in Malacca. I think that was day 5. I decided to cut that day short. I think I was going to where was I going? Father Hennepin, maybe that day. I can't remember. Mm. I think that was Sunday, and I was going to stay at Father Hennepin State Park. My plan was to stay at state parks all along the route. So the first few nights I did.
Yeah.
But then, well, it might have been day four, but it doesn't matter. Anyway, I stayed in Malacca instead and just stayed in a hotel.
Yeah.
Showered for a change. Ugh. You know, cleaned all my clothes for a change.
Yep.
And again, it was just so hot. That's when all the heat was really hitting.
Yeah.
And so then anyway, made some changes. Next day I rode from Malacca to Hinckley with the plan of maybe just staying in Hinckley, but it was only like 50 miles and I actually felt fine. I would always leave around 6 a.m. so you can cover a lot of ground before it got really warm anyway. Oh, yeah. And by the time I got to Hinckley, you know, it was only like 11 or whatever. Mm. And I'm like, okay, well, I can probably just ride the Munger to Duluth because it's the Munger. It's not hard riding. Well, that was actually the hardest day I think I've had on the bike maybe ever, because it was 95 and it was 136 miles that day. And it was like 95 degrees. And I was trying to kind of somewhat push hard just to get home.
Right.
So that was hard. I did make it home. And then, like I say, my plans at that point were kind of different than what I had originally done. But I did then just continue to ride. I changed my bike. I had a different bike when I got home. And
nice.
And rode up to Grand Portage.
Fun. Yeah. That's a lot of different landscapes, kind of the cornfields, the lakes, the forest. I mean, you're an Iowa boy, but did you have a favorite kind of landscape?
I called the whole trip Farms to Forests.
Yeah.
It was kind of the theme, I guess. It was what I found interesting. It was like the farms section was way longer than I thought it would be. And maybe because of the route I chose being gravel roads, but I mean, it was farms all the way to Malacca for sure. And actually beyond that, it was farms all the way to Hinckley until I got on the Munger.
Right. Right.
It was amazing. I thought there would be, I don't know. I just didn't expect, I thought for sure the southern part of the state below the cities, but actually for even beyond north of the cities, it was all farms.
Kind of just the same landscape.
Cornfields and soybeans. And I like that. I'm an Iowa boy, so it felt all familiar and comfortable to me. But it was cool seeing, you know, sandhill cranes and some of the cool wildlife that I saw. And the mornings were amazing. The sunrises and mist, that morning dew and everything, you know, that was really cool.
Yeah.
Got a big tailwind one day as I was, my one day was predominantly northbound and we had this big southern wind, which that's what brought the heat in. Yeah. But that day was a fast day.
Yeah.
I also had to stop in Hutchinson for quite a few hours to get my bike worked on at a bike shop there. It didn't end up fixing the problem, but I think I was in Hutchinson just kind of killing time for like 4 hours. So, it was a lot of fun. I would definitely do something like that again. I wouldn't do that route again per se, cause I've already done it.
Right.
But, it was a good time.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, that's an amazing accomplishment and, just fun. Fun to say. I mean, it's inspiring. It's like, I gotta set something up like that. Like a project. Like, yeah,
it's funny. Like it's absolutely worth. Yeah. Like it was a project and I've been planning it for over a year.
Oh yeah.
Like since I first kind of had the idea and then I didn't say anything forever. so it definitely was a project and it was fun to come up with the idea and my wife supported it and she drove me down, dropped me off and then drove back to Duluth. Then she had to drive to Indiana, take our kid to college and then drive back to Duluth. And then she had to drive up to Grand Portage to pick me up and come back. So she did a lot of driving. Yeah. Yeah. If you do have something planned like that, the logistics, you know, definitely have to get those figured out.
You can't just call an Uber.
Right. Yeah.
Fun. What I've been into lately, it's just trail running like crazy. So, you know, it's my sole focus pretty much. Just racking those miles before Superior, but it's been awesome.
Yeah.
I'm heading out to a training camp on Tuesday in just a couple days. So
nice.
I got like all my maps laid out and just going to try and find a Superior National Forest rustic campground to set up shop at and kind of just be in zone two for 12 hours a day, whether it be running or biking or paddling or something.
How many days will you be there?
I'm thinking Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then like my key workout on Friday and then pack up and maybe hit the Superior Hiking Trail on my way back on Saturday.
So yeah, that's a big deal for sure. And then Tell me about your like food situation, not only on the run, but like in camp. Are you going to go into town and go to a restaurant? Or you got all camp food? You're just going to...
Yeah, I'm going to try. I mean, what's nice is I've kind of diverted my stance over the years where as a younger person, maybe, you know, 10 years ago, I kind of disregarded car camping as like cheating or something.
Right.
And like, I was just big into backpacking and that's just the way that you go sleep on the ground, you know? Mm-hmm. And nowadays, especially like on a trip like this, like running is my sole focus, but also it's kind of important to the training is to like put on some bike miles, put on some paddle miles, just like kind of stay active on my feet like all day.
Yeah.
And also like, what else am I going to do? You know, like sniff flowers? I don't know. So you can't obviously bring in your paddleboard and your bike to the Superior Hiking Trail backcountry campsite, but that allows me to have a cooler and stuff like that. So, I think I'm going to just get some junk food like hot dogs and hamburgers and beans and potato chips and maybe a six pack of beer or something.
So you'll kind of, your car will be the grocery store essentially. You'll stock up on all that. And it won't necessarily be like those camp meals, dehydrated camp meals kind of thing.
No, I don't think so.
No, it's going to,
I think like the hot dog, and that's what I'm actually like really excited for. Like, I don't even know when the last time I had like a hot dog or like a cheese brat or something. Like, I'm definitely getting the cheese brats, you know, like jalapeno cheese or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, just like kind of like a cookout type stuff is what I'm thinking of. And then I don't know. I'm wavering a little bit because at Voyager, it worked well to eat just a little something on my runs. But my primary fuel source for sure is the carb drink mix. And, you know, on these long runs, it's just, it's really pretty easy just to bring baggies of mix and the water filter and just fill up every couple hours.
Hydration pack, right?
I rock the bottles.
Okay.
Yep. So I'll have bottles.
Okay.
And so I have to refill them every 2 hours.
Okay.
You know, unless it's like really cold, I guess, even in every 2 hours. So like, I don't really want to bring extra food with me on that. And the carbs, that's all I really need. Like technically, I think, like I feel deep down, all I need is the carb mix. But I know, I know there's a benefit to eating real food.
Yeah.
You know, when you're out there. So,
yeah.
I don't know. Especially, I might bring a granola bar too, but the big thing is the carb mix when I'm out there. So.
So you will not be using trekking poles?
I definitely will.
You will. So how are you going to do trekking poles and bottle?
Yeah, I have like the vest. It's a vest with the front bottle. Got
you.
Yeah.
So you have a pack, but it's not a bladder.
Exactly.
You're using bottles on your pack.
Yep.
Makes sense.
Yeah. So. Yeah, and that's kind of the beauty of training camp too, is to just bring a whole bunch of stuff, you know, and just hopefully this is all I need.
Yep.
And if the first run goes awry or something, it's like, well, what can I do different? But eventually, and this is like a mindset thing too, is just like, you got to make it work, you know, with what you got.
Yeah.
And I think that's a mindset on the trail.
And also too, like, just like with my bikepacking trip, because we're in modern America, like if you need something, or you're not far from a Walgreens or a gas station of some sort. Like you can always pick something up. Like I had to go into town and I lost my sunglasses. And so it was no problem to just get in a town. Where was I? Monticello. I went to a Walgreens in Monticello and got some, sunglasses and I still,
for sure.
Yeah. So that can happen too.
Yeah. Trestle Inn's right up there.
Maybe
get a burger or something.
Yeah, there you go. It's worth it. It's worth to have that little luxury at times too. That's another thing I noticed on my trip too. I was like, just having a restaurant for dinner or something was really nice.
As much as I'm excited to eat hot dogs, like 4 days in a row of hot dogs.
Right. You know? Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Moving right along to gear review. I wanted to do a gear review for, I got a new pair of trail running shoes specifically for Superior 100 mile. I'm hoping they're going to work well. It's called the Mountain to Coast T1. I've been such a big fan. They've really never, done wrong for me. The Brooks, Cascadia. And I feel like the T1 is pretty similar to the Cascadia. They feel very similar. maybe a little lighter underfoot on the T1. They're, I would say, unquestionably lighter. Mm-hmm. They just feel lighter in my hand and on my foot. But I feel like the Cascadia is pretty beefy and like a tank almost, whereas like you kick rocks and roots, like it doesn't affect you as much. Mm. Just like the amount of cushion. I mean, it's like Cascadia is a beefy shoe. So that's my one kind of fear, I guess, is that the T1, the Mountain Coast, isn't as beefy as I need it for a 100-miler. For something like a 50-mile, like superior fall 50-mile, I think the T1 would be such a good shoe because it's just faster, it's lighter, you know, but it has enough meat. It's not like a zero drop thin ultra or something like that. So I'm thinking I'll use the T1 for superior primarily, but I might stress purchase a fresh pair of Brooks Cascadia, my go-to, just to have. I think that's gonna help. So yeah. And then moving along to the Root of the Week segment. First, I guess I'll shout out Dave Schaefer. He sent us his Root of the Week, and that's the Munger Trail right here in Duluth. So Dave is a big fan of starting it by the Munger Inlet. I think that's what he's talking about. It was like right across from the zoo. Mm-hmm. Yep. Area. Dave's a big fan of the mile markers. You can get a split every mile, you know, aside from your watch or whatever. And just like a nice paved, minimal road crossings, minimal traffic, good option for people training for a fall marathon. Mm-hmm. I definitely have to agree with Dave on that. Munger Trail's a awesome spot to rack some miles, especially if you're looking for that pavement. You know?
And I would even add parallel to that, just up the hill is the DWP,
right?
Which, you know, you get a slightly softer surface, but it doesn't go as long. Obviously, the Munger goes quite a bit longer, but DWP is really nice as well.
Yeah, and even that would be an option even for a loop or something where you don't have to go straight out and back. But
correct.
Yeah. Dave's a big fan, for instance, of the mile markers. So if you're looking for a route that has like consistent mile markers, check out the Munger Trail, especially from Munger Inlet. Mm-hmm. And then furthermore, we were just kind of riffing beforehand on our kind of respective Root of the Weeks. Yeah. It's like, well, we've said it every week pretty much. It's like, and it is kind of fun to talk about, you know, it's like we do the same route over and over and over, and oftentimes just don't get bored of it. Like, what's with that?
Yeah, yeah. Like I ride the same, everybody calls it the staircase, this is the same kind of gravel roads northeast of Duluth all the time, out and back. Doesn't bother me one bit. And I grew up, like when I started running in my small town in Iowa, literally around the town was 3 miles.
Okay.
But we had a paved trail that once you kind of got to the edge of town would take you out to a state park. And that was about a 4 mile paved trail. It was in a ditch along a state highway. That's all it was. But, that was your option. So I just, that's just what I did. And I marked, just like Dave just mentioned, marked miles out on that trail.
Right.
This is before I ever had a GPS watch or before they even existed. And, you know, so I got kind of used to just running the same route all the time and it doesn't bother me one bit.
For me, like, especially with Superior coming up, like I'm trying to just stay on the trail and just get my feet used to dancing around rocks and roots. And so I've been going in Chester, you know, my local, and, I mean, I feel like to one extent, like even going like counterclockwise versus clockwise is different enough.
Yeah, I think so.
Where it keeps it fresh. But for me, it's just so perfect to do like the whole loop in Chester and then run down to Lake Superior, jump in, run home.
Yeah.
And I think about it all day until I actually just go do it.
What I like about the same route, doing the same route, is you can also gauge your fitness pretty well too.
Definitely.
As you get to know it better and you kind of, oh, this hill didn't used to be this easy and now it's getting a little bit more easy. So yeah. I like that aspect.
That's an important aspect as well. Last segment that we have here is the shout out segment. And just big shout out to Dave Schaefer for sending us a couple cool topics of conversation. Love to see it. And it's fun to just get some listener feedback. Also, Dave wanted to shout out specifically volunteers, organizers of the Run with the Hounds race. Dave said it was super fun and amazing that Carrie baked all of the pies for prizes. So thanks for the shout out there, Dave. And thanks for sending us some excellent ideas for our podcast here. What do you got, Tony?
Yeah, one quick shout out to my wife, who it's her birthday today. So
yay, Gretchen. Yeah,
happy birthday.
Awesome. Anything else you want to highlight, talk about, anything else on your mind, Tony, before we get on to our interview section?
No.
All right, well, that's a wrap. Welcome to the Duluth Rundown interview section. We are just about to get going with our next interview, but first, a message from our sponsor, Austin Jaro Sports. Austin Jaro is where you want to go to get anything running related, from gear to shoes to food, and of course, great advice from all the people that work up there. So check out Austin Jaro at 1025 West Central Entrance here in Duluth, Minnesota. Thanks, Austin Jaro.